There are myriad issues dividing the Christian church today. Unfortunately, there are equally as many dividing the Christian family. Now, some of the challenges arise from attitudinal differences, perhaps, but some are spiritual in nature, and that's a real problem. What happens, for example, when our kids' understanding of Scripture differs from our own? Are we prepared as parents to defend those beliefs? And as Christians, you know, we're called to engage the world for the sake of Christ. So, do we engage our kids for Christ, or do we shy away from that challenge, perhaps uncertain as to whether our own interpretation is the right one? And what about our take on society's more pressing questions about social justice, evil and suffering, pornography, and environmentalism? Today on License to Parent, addressing our differences and discovering peace that comes with unity of purpose. Well, hello and welcome to License to Parent, coming to you from Shepherd's Hill Academy, a year-long residential facility for teens in crisis located just north of Atlanta. I'm Rich Rosl, and our host on License to Parent is Trace Embry, the founder and executive director of Shepherd's Hill. And Trace, you get the first question. Have you ever had any doctrinal disputes with your kids that have really been a source of contention in your home?
Well, you know, there have been a few in-house debates over the years, but certainly nothing theologically has ever divided my immediate family. I do have an extended family member, however, who is one of these prosperity guys. According to his doctrine, I'm a naysayer, so he doesn't have anything to do with me.
Really?
It's sad. It really is. But when the kids, you know, first get here at Shepherd's Hill, I often see tremendous division in belief between the parents and the kids. But this is largely due to the fact that most of these kids coming to Shepherd's Hill come with almost zero knowledge of Scripture.
Right.
Much of what they believe about Christ and Christianity has come from what they've heard and or talked about between friends or on the internet, all of which rarely has any merit in Scripture.
Well, I think right there you raised a very important issue, and that is, what is our point of reference? And today's guest has been working for years to get people centered on God as their ultimate point of reference, the ultimate source of truth. That guest is Dr. Alex McFarlane. He's the director for Christian Worldview and Apologetics at the Christian Worldview Center of North Greenville University in Greenville, South Carolina. He's also host of the radio program Exploring the Word, and he's an author, speaker, and an expert on Christian apologetics. More importantly, he is a repeat offender on License to Parent. He's been here before. But today we're going to be talking about a parenting topic that to us really, I guess, sprang out of his latest book, 10 Issues That Divide Christians.
Well, Alex, welcome to the License to Parent broadcast, brother. It's always great to have you on.
Well, thank you guys so much. It's great to be back. I have such an appreciation for all that you do and Shepherd's Hill and the radio, and to be on is really an honor.
Well, the honor is ours. All of us here at Shepherd's Hill are looking forward to the Truth for a New Generation conference coming up just right around the corner in Spartanburg on September 5th and 6th. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, thanks. Well, you know, years ago, 23 years ago, actually, we did the first Truth for a New Generation event, 1991. So this makes it, I give God the praise, but as far as we know, the longest running apologetics conference in the nation. And this year, 2014, honestly, I've never been so excited as I am this year. We're going to be in Spartanburg, South Carolina, First Baptist Church of Spartanburg, South Carolina, September 5 and 6. So it's right upon us. But a number of great speakers, and for everyone listening, let me say, I don't know if you know all these names, but to learn how to defend the faith, to learn Christianity and the evidence for the biblical worldview under these speakers, this would be like, you know, learning basketball from Michael Jordan or something, okay? But you're going to hear live, in person. This is not video. This is in person. David Barton, Josh McDowell, Eric Metaxas, Johnny Erickson Tata, Tim Wildman of the American Family Association, Gary Habermas, who many say is the world expert on the resurrection of Christ. But also, we're going to hear from the Chuck Colson Center, John Stone Street, Sean McDowell, and many of the faculty from North Greenville University. From Ohio, there's a great ministry to Muslims and ex-Muslims called Call of Love. Samia Johnson, who's a Middle Eastern woman, yeah, and her husband.
I just had her on.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Okay,
mm-hmm.
Yeah. She's great. Well, she's going to be coming, and she's going to be speaking on the issue of, do Christians and Muslims worship the same God?
Good.
And one of the great emerging scholars of our day, a man from Reasons for Hope called Juan Valdez, is going to be talking about, can we understand the book of Genesis in terms of faith and science? How do we reconcile the two? But the big news is our keynote speaker, Dr. Ben Carson, who will be there in person. And, you know, when I booked him to speak almost a year ago, you know, we had no knowledge of how strongly he would emerge on the national scene as a voice. Not only, he's a medical professional, former head of pediatric neurosurgery at Johns Hopkins, but many are saying that he will be a presidential candidate. That remains to be seen. But TNG 2014 is going to be awesome. September 5 and 6, Spartanburg, South Carolina.
Well, with Juan Valdez there, we know the coffee will be good, too.
But a different Juan. Not that Juan.
Our kids so appreciated meeting Josh McDowell. I don't know who all they met last year. I wasn't able to attend. I had other things I had to be at. But this year, I will be there. We'll actually have some booth space there. So I'm looking forward to meeting some of you guys, and we can bump our gums a little bit, too.
Yeah.
Well, Alex, your latest book is called 10 Issues That Divide Christians. We certainly won't be able to discuss all 10 with you today, but perhaps we can touch on a couple. But I also want to talk to you a little bit about the importance of training our kids how to defend what they believe through apologetics, and about the importance of what you refer to in your book as the core beliefs of the Christian faith. Today's kids, largely because of the internet, are challenging our faith with legitimate questions previous generations never thought to ask or maybe didn't need to ask. One of those questions is, how are these core beliefs actually determined? And then who has the authority to determine them as such?
And by the way, this conversation, this exact conversation, came up in my car 2 days ago.
There you go.
So I'll be taking notes, because I said to many of these questions, let me get back to you.
I rest my case.
Yeah, we really do live in interesting times, and I want to say from the get-go, I'm a Christian and I'm an American. I love the Lord and I love my country. And so in raising some deep, deep concerns, you know, we're not bashing the church, and I'm not bashing education. You know, I've been in Christian higher education for a decade now, and even prior to that, going back to the mid-90s, by the grace of God, I've spoken on well over 100 university campuses. But I want to tell you, America is in a precarious place right now, because we've got more and more voices speaking out against God and Christianity.
And they have the microphone.
Oh, I know. I know. I mean, you've got people, if they're not on national television or, you know, hosting a talk show, they're occupying a lectern in a classroom or they're blogging on the internet. Mm-hmm. And we've got so many voices, even compelling voices, and celebrities and rock stars, right, just bashing values, morality, God, even America. Right. And I want to say this. Here's what makes our nation's condition right now all the more precarious, is that what my friend Chuck Colson was a personal friend of mine, very gracious to me in a lot of ways, wrote letters, opened doors for me. But Chuck Colson used to say that the church is the conscience of the culture. And that organism raised up by God to keep the culture on point, to speak truth into a lost world. I would say the Church of America 2014 is the most ill-equipped that it's ever been.
I agree.
To defend the faith, shine the light of truth, and even the other entity. Let me say, the second greatest gift that God ever gave the world, right behind salvation. The first and greatest gift is that God so loved the world, He sent His only Son, Jesus. But the second greatest gift God ever gave the world is family.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen really for 30 to 40 years in America, the family denigrated, the family neglected, the family even abandoned, now the family being dismantled and reinvented. And so the two forces for good and truth, the family and the church, the home and the body of Christ, both are in shambles. I mean, really? Right. Do you know, now brace yourself. This is so sad. And again, look, I love God. I love country. I love church. I love home. And I'm for the church and the family. But truth is truth. Listen to this. Right now, there are something like 70 million young people in America that are 18 or younger. So from age 18 and younger, there's roughly 70.1 million. Of those, guess how many will grow up in a two-parent home with mother and dad, and by the time they go away to high school, they will have been raised by the biological father and mother. Roughly 24 million out of 70.
Yeah, that's
so
bad.
So more than half of the young people in America today will never know what a traditional two-parent home is like.
And they're going to get comfortable with that.
Oh, yeah. The new normal is divorce, estrangement, alienation. And so, you know, Lincoln said that the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world.
Right.
You know, George Washington, our first president, said the future of the country depends on the Christian training of young people. So our founding fathers knew what we have forgotten, that God and family are of primary importance. Teddy Roosevelt, our 26th U.S. president, I don't know why I'm quoting so many presidents, but while we're on it, Teddy Roosevelt, our 26th president, he said, in the hustle and bustle of our busy life, I fear that we will lose the hold our forefathers had on the Bible.
How do you counsel a parent who has a kid who doesn't look at the founding fathers as credible as we do because of issues like slavery, and they'll debunk that these guys really had
any morals at all.
Any morals at all. And then we're hypocritical in the moral absolutes of freedom that you know they talked about. How should a parent deal with a child who's bringing that up? Because that's what they're bringing back from their public school system and their colleges.
Yeah, and it's really sad that our public schools really try to make the founding fathers racist and
right.
and pro-slavery. When, let me say from the beginning, the founding fathers were ready and willing and looking toward the day that we really would implement you know, all men are created equal and are endowed by their creator. Let me tell you, some of the founding fathers that did oppose slavery include Benjamin Franklin, George Washington, John Rutledge, James Madison. Mm-hmm. Some of the strongest anti-slavery voices came out of North and South Carolina.
But yet they still own them, and that's the problem.
Some did.
But weren't these guys, Alex, really a product of their times? The very people who are discrediting our founding fathers, had they lived 200 years ago, it's very possible that they may have owned slaves themselves because they would have been, again, a product of their times. You know, I was watching Dinesh D'Souza's movie, America, and he brought up that there were thousands and thousands of black folks that actually owned slaves themselves.
They did. And let me say, it was the black Muslims of Africa that sold their, you know, biological brethren into slavery. Mm-hmm. But here's the thing. Nation building takes time. Right. 1774, 2 years before the Declaration, the first anti-slavery society in America was founded by Benjamin Franklin and Benjamin Rush, both Christians. Benjamin Franklin was led to the Lord by the evangelist George Whitfield, very credible account of Franklin's conversion. And Benjamin Rush was an overt, explicit Christian. But in 1774, Benjamin Franklin founded America's first society against slavery. John Jay, the first Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court, founded an anti-slavery society in New York State. And so let me say this. One of the signers of the U.S. Constitution, a guy named William Livingston, was a governor of New Jersey, and he was in New Jersey, and he wrote to John Jay, and he said, I ardently wish to become a member of your anti-slavery society. And he said, I promise that I will use tongue and pen and purse to work for the abolition of slavery, which is consistent with my Christianity.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
It is amazing. I think these guys were stuck between a rock and a hard place. They were kind of like riding a wild bull. They didn't like being there, but they didn't dare let go either. So,
George Washington, our founding father, our first president, he said this, and listen to this, he said, "There's not a man living who wishes more sincerely than I to adopt a plan for the abolition of slavery."
Hmm.
So here's the deal. You've got these colonies. You've got this hodgepodge of Europeans, and you've got people coming in from the Netherlands, and you've got Africans that are marketing free labor to Europeans that come over here. And you have to understand, there was not on day one, you know, July 4th, 1776, there wasn't a universal infrastructure of law enforcement and jurisprudence. Mm-hmm. There just wasn't. I mean, you know, I've traveled by God's grace. I've spoken in all 50 states. The lower 48, I've spoken in most of the states at least a dozen times each. There's a few places like North Dakota and Idaho that I've only been two or three times. But most of the lower 48, I've been a dozen times. Okay, in Cody, Wyoming, do you know they were executing criminals by public hanging up until the 40s?
Mm-hmm.
That wasn't that long ago.
Yeah.
So you've got to understand, America got reined in and tamed in this slow incremental basis. And, you know, frankly, as quickly as it could be done, slavery was addressed, was ended, and let me say everyone listening can thank Abraham Lincoln and the Republican Party for the Emancipation Proclamation.
Right. Our guest today is Dr. Alex McFarland, Director of Christian Worldview and Apologetics at North Greenville University, host of the radio program Exploring the Word from American Family Radio, and author of a book that we are discussing on and off today, 10 Issues That Divide Christians. We have to take a short break here on Licensed to Parent, but we'll be right back, so please stay with us. It's difficult to see the light at the end of the tunnel when you're face-to-face with a teenager who argues with you at every turn. Maybe you and your teen can't talk to one another about anything without it getting complicated. For nearly two decades, Shepherd's Hill Academy has been bringing healing to teens and families from around the world. Up until now, that help has come through its residential treatment facility in North Georgia. But now, your family can benefit from that experience at home through Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching, designed to help you discern God's will for your family, build good communication skills, deal with defiant children, and more. Our family coaching team will work with you by phone, in your home, at work, even while you're on the road, to help your family develop a game plan to succeed. Sign up for Shepherd's Hill Family Coaching today by visiting LicensedToParent.org. Live the family life your family was designed for. Click on the Family Coaching banner at LicensedToParent.org. Teen rebellion, depression, addiction, rage, cutting, and suicide are destroying our families today. But there is a way out. Shepherd's Hill Academy offers a 12-month, Christ-centered, nonprofit residential program where kids are being transformed with a biblical worldview and often medication-free. Christian apologist Ravi Zacharias is just one of many Christian leaders who understands what's happening at Shepherd's Hill Academy.
It really is such an honor to come alongside Shepherd's Hill Ministries and Licensed to Parent to rescue those who have been seduced along the way. I cannot gainsay how important this is, and to get behind a ministry like this, one will find the rewards to be extremely powerful in changing society.
Get the help you need at Shepherd's Hill Academy. Go to helpmytroubledteen.org. helpmytroubledteen.org. Welcome back to Licensed to Parent, the radio outreach of Shepherd's Hill Academy with our host, Trace Embry. I'm Rich Rosl, and again, our guest today is a man who during the break said, we'll speak for food, we'll preach for food. He would love to be in your church. He's Dr. Alex McFarland, And incidentally, if you would like to have him come speak, Alex, I guess the best thing to do would be to contact you at alexmcfarland.com, right?
Sure, my website. And I'll even give my email. It will come right to me, alex@alexmcfarland.com.
There you go.
It's been my privilege to preach and teach in a lot of places, but I really feel like my heart is an evangelist. And so I've spoken in many churches. I do everything from evangelistic campaigns to apologetic seminars. And I really would like to, for anyone that's would love to do an event in their church in the future, I would love to speak with them about what we could do.
Well, Alex, I really appreciate your passion. I mean, I've been described, and I think you've got me topped. You're like a water balloon. You prick it, and boom, out comes everything. Because there's so much in there that needs to get out that people do need to hear.
Yeah. But given the fact that we've got limited time, let's try to wrap this up with a nice bow. Where do we need to go from here, especially as parents trying to train up our kids? What's the next step for us in order to try to keep things together and centered on Christ?
Well, to be a Christian parent these days and to raise kids that, really go the distance with Christ, it takes a lot of consistency. It takes making wise choices. It takes the Word of God, and it takes a lot of prayer. And the good news is God's Word tells us, I think about things like Deuteronomy 6 and Exodus 13. I would encourage people to read those, which really talk about passing the faith on to our children. And I would say to everyone listening, every mom and dad, the most worthwhile thing you'll ever do, the thing that will count for eternity, is to build a solid biblical worldview in the lives of your kids.
Oh, yes.
Be a part of a good local church, but live it in the home and prayerfully, carefully, consistently, lovingly implant Jesus into the hearts and lives of your kids. And, it is a battle of worldviews. By God's grace, I've written 16 books now on biblical worldview and parenting. Got a brand new book out with Tyndale called The 21 Toughest Questions Your Kids Will Ask About Christianity. And we interviewed 111 families. Over 2 years of research went into this, actual questions from actual kids ages 5 to 12. And so here's my thought, guys. Lose at anything else, but win with your family.
Yeah. Amen.
I think a lot of parents are really scared. I mean, they feel inadequate when it comes to defending their faith and therefore training their kids in the faith. So this 21 questions would be a great resource. And again, that would be available on your website as well, I'm sure.
Yeah, and Amazon and any of the websites, Christian Supply. I was reading a Barna report yesterday, the Barna Research Group, and they were talking about how so many young people, even those in church, don't really have a biblical worldview. And on a lot of the moral and spiritual and cultural issues, a lot of kids, say 25 and under, land on, shall we say, less than biblical positions. But he said, look, the parents can't give away what they themselves don't have.
That's exactly right.
And mom and dad, you love the Lord, that's great. But maybe to equip your kids to defend the faith, maybe you've got to drill down a little more deeply and get a little bit more solid grasp on some of the spiritual realities that maybe you've sort of tacitly taken for granted over the years.
You're exactly right, Alex. I mean, worldview is something we drive home here. It's a staple here. We feel it all starts right there. But at Shepherd's Hill, we've not only seen incredible results in the attitudes and behaviors of the kids we deal with because they've been stimulated for a year with the truth, love, nurture, and discipline of God and His Word. But we've seen a similar transformation in so many of the parents who've come to commit to learning and adhering to the principles and mandates of Scripture also. But when a parent is dealing with the real concrete issues of a child who's being promiscuous or abusing drugs or whatever, I found it's hard for them to connect the dots between the importance of understanding the abstracts of worldview issues and the concrete issues of their child's behavior. Is there anything you can tell parents that would encourage them and help them to more clearly connect these dots between worldview and behavior? And then number two, how to better equip themselves to parent their kids according to a biblical worldview. I know it's a long question, but I had to set
it up. Sure. Well, let me say, imagine a triangle. And at the top is behavior. That's what we see. But under that are beliefs, and under that are convictions.
Like the iceberg.
Now, yeah, it's like an iceberg. Behavior is what we see. That's the part, the little tip above the water.
Mm-hmm.
But what drives behavior is beliefs,
yes.
What we think is true and real.
Thank you.
What drives beliefs is what we think is important.
Mm-hmm.
And let me say, the foundation on which all of this rests, if you want to inform convictions, if you want to teach beliefs, and if you want to help shape behavior, the foundation that these can be built on is relationship.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I love data. I love information. I'm a teacher. I'm a writer. Content is king, right? Mm-hmm. But look, mom and dad, I'm telling you, there is the four-letter word. If you want to have meaningful relationship whereby you can impart convictions, you can teach beliefs, and thereby you will have shaped the behavior. It's T-I-M-E.
Amen.
Time.
Yeah. We equate that with love.
And discipleship, whether it's, you know, me taking my neighbor to breakfast and sharing the gospel, or whether it's in the home, parent to child, think of this. Discipleship is life on life transference.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know any other way to say it. The only way to achieve this is time.
That's right.
Yeah.
Really, time together.
I agree.
And Alex, unfortunately, we are now out of it on the program, so we need to say goodbye. Once again, your Truth for a New Generation conference, that's September 5th and 6th, right? That's in Spartanburg?
It's awesome. In Spartanburg, just very nearby, the website is truthforanewgeneration.com. But guys, I just want to say this. In a world that is just kind of like going crazy, Shepherd's Hill Academy is doing a vital work. I really cannot overstress how important it is, the work of Shepherd's Hill Academy. You're truly on the front line of helping young lives be reshaped for a great future with God and for productive contributions to our society. And I just want to say, I applaud the work of Shepherd's Hill. Our prayers are with you, and how I wish there were a million more just like you, because you're doing a great thing.
Well, thank you, brother.
Thanks.
Our goal is not to just make more microcosms of our culture. Our goal is to produce change agents to the culture, and that's exactly what's happening. Thank you for recognizing that.
Our guest today is Dr. Alex McFarland, Director of Christian Worldview and Apologetics at North Greenville University, host of the radio program Exploring the Word from American Family Radio. And the book we've been discussing today is 10 Issues That Divide Christians. You'll find that along with about 14 other books that Alex has written on his website, alexmcfarland.com, or on Amazon. By the way, if you'd like to find out more about the Truth for a New Generation conference, once again, that website is truthforanewgeneration.com. And that is our time for today. Thank you so much for spending some of yours with us. If you've enjoyed today's conversation, please remember that you can hear this and others in the program archive section of our website at licensedtoparent.org. And if this program has been beneficial to you or your family, please share it with a friend or a colleague. And if you're hearing this on the radio rather than via podcast, please let your station know as well. We would really appreciate it, and they'd love to hear from you too. On behalf of Trace Embry, I'm Rich Rosl, inviting you to come back again next time and renew your license to parent.
And remember, folks, if we don't train our kids, somebody else will. God bless you. See you next time.